Hello, we are Sorted Food, and this is another episode of Chefs versus the Internet.
Now, here's how it works. We challenge Ben and the chefs here at Sorted to come up with the ultimate recipe or dish element.
And then we let a normal loose on the interwebs to grab all of your input to see if they can come up with their own version.
And with great challenge comes great judging responsibility, so we brought in our mate Poppy here, who is a pro chef, to judge the lot.
And it is a battle royale against the chefs and a Reddit for a roast potato roast off.
Ready? Cook in 3, 2, 1.
Roast! Straight into the spud. So, Barry, tell me, what are you going to do?
So I've got some King Edwards here because I need these to be light and fluffy on the outside. The key to a roast potato is when you fluff them up, they need to fluff up massively like a big woolly sheep. And then you kind of smother the wool in beautiful fat and then roast them off.
Doesn't sound quite as appealing as a roast potato.
Now, I have to be honest, Barry and I both agree on this. We want a fluffer, something that's going to give you all of that edge that you can crisp up. So I am also using King Edward.
Just out of interest, do you know what a fluffer is?
Weekend pocket money, innit?
Ebbers has been out of the office a lot.
Your weekend pocket money. That's amazing.
So why is it so important to take the eyes out?
Not all potatoes are perfect. Those bits will just be slightly tougher, they will colour quicker, they're just a slightly different composition than the rest of the potato. Remember, potato is 80% water, give or take. In my recipe, I want to start to get rid of as much of that so they go crispy on the outside.
Less moisture, the crispier, and that's with anything, with, you know, meat, fish, you want to dry it all out, salt it, the salt extracts the water, you get crispier things. So, Ben's gone for quarters. What size are you going to go for your tatties?
I was just going to halve these, I think. Because for me, a roast potato, you want as much surface area as possible, so you've got a nice crispy outside, but I like a light, fluffy middle. So therefore, you've got to keep them relatively large.
Yeah, I like that, Baz.
Yeah, rather, yeah.
I'm with that. I agree with you and Reddit.
For me, a couple of litres of water and heavy on salt.
So the people on Reddit, they were giving us lots of comments about what you should do to that water to impart flavour into potatoes. So I'm sticking garlic, a stock cube, and some herbs in there as well as salt in the water.
Poppy approves.
I approve, that's fancy.
There's a lot of peas in that. Poppy approved.
Poppy approval. Don't tell, I move
Poppy
on.
Poppy approval.
So into cold water, bring to a boil, and chuck in all the flavour.
The counter to that, when we were thinking about this, is we do want a nice firm middle so they hold their shape, but lots of fluffy outside. So break the rule of thumb, which is vegetables grown under the ground, start in cold water. I'm going to add them into boiling water, heavily seasoned with salt, and I'm adding bicarb of soda. Bicarb changes the pH, sends it upwards, and it makes... Basically, they'll brown better in the oven.
Oh, so he had to get all science here last night.
Yeah,
all words, no detail.
About half a teaspoon to a couple of litres of water. Important that it's bicarb of soda, not baking powder. Sometimes people get those confused, think they're interchangeable. In some cakes, they are. Here, it's the soda and the alkali you want.
Oh, delicious bicarb. Or what would you rather, bicarb or garlic and herbs and beautiful chicken flavour?
I like where you're going with this, Baz. We'll see at the end.
Science versus flavour.
So, my spuds are going in.
So when Ben immediately mentioned boiling water,
yeah. You
were against it. But then he mentioned bicarb soda.
Yes.
And you were for it.
Yes, it's a really good tip. It's great for fluffing up the potato on the outside, breaks down starch, make it lovely and fluffy. But it's also great for vegetables, green vegetables. So if you're doing like your beans and your peas, put a bit of bicarb in there. And watercress. When you're making I don't know if you're going to make a watercress puree at home. Bit of bicarb in there. It keeps it really, really green.
For years, we've been talking about rules of thumb to try and like empower people to cook better at home. And exactly that. Most of the time, in order to cook a potato through without over-fluffing the outside, cold water makes sense. Today, breaking all those rules for the perfect roast potato and see if we can get fluff in the outside before it's cooked in the middle and then it gets ample time in the oven as well.
I'm really interested and intrigued how this is going to turn out because I think I'll make a banging roast potato, so I'm excited.
So one place that Reddit and I agree on,
Yeah. Beef
dripping. Beef dripping or goose fat? But beef dripping came out on top. You want to get that into a pan, into the oven, searing hot. So when these are fluffy, they go straight into the searing hot beef dripping and they start to crisp up straight away.
Beef dripping anything. Beef dripping on a bit of bread.
Oh. What?
So out of interest, you've gone for chicken stock.
Yeah, why? Why the combo?
I don't think it really mattered, did it really? Just get as much flavour as possible.
It is different flavour.
It might matter to the vegetarian in your life.
Yeah.
But...
well, we're both vegans, aren't we, really? So.
And do you have a ratio for fat to potato, or is it just by eye on this one?
I'm going just by eye. You want a good layer of fat in there.
Coming up for the knees.
I think you want the potatoes to be ankle deep in fat.
Okay.
Ooh,
ankle deep.
Yeah.
Like that. Okay, Ebbers, what are you thinking, mate?
The thing with the parboil from cold water, bringing it up and then cooking it, it takes quite a while. In boiling water, 5-6 minutes, ooh, ample, to get that fluffy edge.
Ben's done on these potatoes already. Like, that's kind of throwing me, because like, sometimes at home I'll just about cook it so it's fluffy on the outside. But here we want to cook these all the way through.
Right, what's this? Okay, Ebbers, talk to us. What are you doing here?
So you can see how fluffy they are on the outside. Almost mashed potato-esque. Little zhuzh in the colander. But the bicarb's done a lot of that work for us. Now we want to dry them out. Your concern about trying to juggle too many things at once, lots of pans, lots of pots for a roast, this is also a good hack if you want to get ahead, because you can do these the day before. You can either just leave them by an open window or put them by a fan. But basically, you want to cool them down and dry them out.
That's what I'm going to... Sorry, guys, Sunday dinner's going to be a bit late. The fan's taking a while for the potatoes to dry.
Yeah, and if you leave them on the windowsill, the cartoon dog is going to come in.
The idea is you can do them a whole 24 hours in advance, even.
Whoa, that's not fair.
Leave them in a fridge, unwrapped overnight. Look how dry they go. Fluffy, but still solid in the middle.
What's really hard than normal is, like, it takes quite a lot for us to absorb information sometimes. And when it sinks in, it's there forever. I was taught this method originally by this guy here.
I know.
So that's now, that for me, that's the only way to make roast potatoes, because it's now sunken in. And now he's throwing me by doing something completely different.
So now we've got all the crispy dry bits, I want to douse them in fat, because that's what will go crispy. And I'm using half olive oil, half goose fat.
Why the half and half oil fat mix?
Olive oil for flavour. Goose fat for high sort of roasting temperature.
This makes more sense of why his potatoes are a bit smaller as well. Mine are big to start off with, but they'll probably end up being the same size because I'm going to shake them to an inch of their life.
Gotcha. Yeah. That's exactly what I would do.
I've put mine onto baking paper, two reasons. Easier to clean later, also prevents any sticking. And then they go into an oven as hot as it will go, 240 degrees to start that frying process. I will begin to turn it down later on to make sure they do cook through because these are still practically raw in the middle.
I want to slag them off, but they are things of beauty. They are glistening.
They do glisten.
For me, I'm stopping here because they're at the point where it's falling off the knife.
Let's have a look.
It's falling off the knife.
Don't burn yourself.
I could go further, but at the same time, if I go further, there's a chance that I'm just going to have roasted mashed potato.
Yeah, gotcha.
So I'm going to commit now.
Terrible to
eat. Now, we as Reddit, we're going to shake it.
Just gyrating it.
Now, unlike Ben, I haven't got a fan peering from my window. So I'm going to let them steam dry in the colander, in the pan, just for a few minutes, whilst my oil finishes heating up. There have definitely been a few casualties in there.
That's fine.
Very tasty casualties, but that's where I think the bicarb prevents that. Mm-hmm. So you get the crispy, fluffy bits, but without any food waste.
Oh, that is rich of chicken goodness and delicious herbs. Love that. Reddit, great shout there. That is some delicious fluff. To make sure these go super crispy, another thing on Reddit, people are saying to use corn flour. A tablespoon of corn flour at the top.
Yeah.
Mix it in, gives it an extra bite at the end. Something I wouldn't do at home, something I've never done. But here we go.
Could be a game changer, I'm up for it. Are they holding up all right? You all right? You all right?
I embrace it. Trust. In Reddit, we trust. Chuck in some more rosemary over the top of it, or on the side of it. Then back into the oven, 200. We'll say for like 40 minutes. Then I'm going to take them out, give them a squish, and back in for another half an hour, 40 minutes.
Ooh. What does the squish do?
We'll get to that.
Hold your horses, we'll get to that. Sorry.
Calm you.
He's such a tease.
Now I'm going to toss them in the pot, beautiful beef dripping. And then back in the oven.
God, I love roast potatoes.
What I'm doing differently to Baz is keeping the herbs and the garlic and the lemon zest until the end. For me, if you put them in the oven right at the start, they're going to burn before the potatoes crisp. Instead, you don't want raw garlic, you don't want raw herbs, but I will toss them through in the last couple of minutes just to take that edge off.
That does make sense.
It does make sense. I'm not going to argue it.
With my potatoes, a couple more things to think about. Because they're so fluffy on the outside, you don't want to move them too quickly until they've had chance to crisp up and case in the middle. Then you can start to turn them. Secondly, burp the oven.
What? Burp?
We want to make the outsides crisp and dry. If there's loads of steam in there, that's not going to happen.
How often are you burping it? Like, if you have to give us a figure.
You're going to want to burp it every 15 to 20 minutes within that
Just check it. It's not actually called burping, is it? Dirty
Yorkies. It's taken you 24 hours prior. Now you've got to burp the oven whilst you're making a Sunday roast.
You're cooling your turkey down as you do it.
My final step, I'm going to toss it in the garlic, the lemon, the herb, and then just a couple of minutes in the oven, just to take the rawness off, but without burning those herbs.
Okay, judgment time.
Poppy, you have cloche A and B. A is the chef's attempt. So let's have a look.
Oh, yes. Oh, hello, sir. They look absolutely fantastic. We've got the nice little fleckles of herb, which aren't burnt. And then I'm going to go for this one. No, you know what I'm going to go for this one, which is very, very golden. Look at the crisp on it.
And Barry, on behalf of Reddit.
Let's have a look. Oh, they're beastie. They're beastie and they are rustic, which is the word we use when it doesn't look as perfect.
There is only one way that you can judge this, and that's by eating them. Get stuck in.
Okay, so we're going to go for Ben's first.
Have a listen to the crunch. Yeah. This is important.
It's not often you eat a roast potato just like that. Normally it's smothered in gravy and you still want the crunch, but I'm chuffed with that.
But one thing, I've lost the flavour of the herbs. Get a hint of lemon, but the rest of it. But, I mean, I would not complain about that in any way, shape or form. They're pretty perfect.
Pretty perfect. Mm. Pretty and perfect.
Check out Practically Perfect next.
Okay.
It was a rustic and perfect.
So, yeah, the rogue rustic beasts over here.
Barry's beasty potatoes.
Right. Crunch factor.
Different type of crunch, isn't it?
Oh, that's very good. Mm. It takes you back home. It takes you back to like Tee Nan because it tastes like beef fat and you've got the extra flavour from the chicken stock.
Does that make a big difference?
Can you taste the chicken and garlic and herb through it?
I can taste the beef dripping. It's the main element of flavour there. It's a very tough call because I'd be happy with both of these. I am very much happy with both of these.
Basically, Poppy, are you going to be offending Ben and the chefs here at the Sorted or all of Reddit?
I think purely for the flavour, I'm going to have to go Reddit. I'm so sorry. But the crunch is better, but I think the flavour of the beef dripping just comes through, and that's my personal preference on that. It's delicious.
What's amazing is I wouldn't usually do like that at home, but thanks everyone Reddit, you may have created the perfect potato.
The element of using the bicarb in this and then cooking them in boiling water really helps with the fluffiness. And that would actually help with this because you wouldn't get them as soft, meaning you could squash them a bit more without them completely, I mean, they're almost, no offense, disintegrating, but they are, they're more like hash browns. They're like squashed mashed potato. So I think if you merged again, I know we've done a lot of hybrid merging with these, taking that element of cooking them in boiling water and using it with this method, I think the corn flour really adds to it as well. You're just kind of throwing every element at it that you can. And the flavour of the beef dripping comes through, and maybe a bit more stock. I reckon you could have put about 3 stock cubes in that water.
Really?
But like you said, they're sponges. They'll just absorb it all.
Well, congratulations, Baz and Reddit. But what did you guys think? Comment down below. Would you have done anything differently?
And as always, big thanks to Poppy. All her links are in the description box down below. Go check her out.
And thank you to everybody on Reddit for helping give us the win.
Well done.
Long may it continue.
Thank you for rounding that off nicely.
We have an app. It's called Meal Packs and helps you plan and then cook a week's worth of meals using one set of ingredients, saving you money, cutting down on food waste, and answering the age-old question, what should we have for dinner? It's free to try for a whole month. The link is in the description box below.
I'm gagging for a good roast, if I'm honest with you.
And again...